2 Samuel chapter 22, or you can even turn to Psalm 18, because that's where you'll find the words that will repeat themselves from 2 Samuel 22 and in Psalm 18. So it's up to you which one you want to look at, because what we're going to look at tonight is in both of those passages. Before we get there, let me clarify a couple things. We've had a couple questions asked about Tuesday nights. I know this is different. I know we're changing things up. When we do that, it does bring questions, because it's not the normal thing that we do. In the bulletin, it mentioned you can give online to the different camps, and you can do that. Somebody asked, will that go toward our team? The answer would be no. We're not going to make the office people figure out what team you're on and go ahead and give credit. So if you want to bring money with you on those camp nights, you can. If you want to just give it online, bottom line is it's going to go for a great cause, and that's really the point. But we do the team thing. That's to get you excited and to give a little competition with that. So you're welcome, again, to give online. Maybe you can't be here those Tuesday nights because of work or out of town, vacation, that type of thing. So we want to make that available. And then somebody asked about dress code. Come like you would Wednesday night, and I know we're doing the T-shirt thing this week. You can wear a camp T-shirt or camp shirt. You may not have a polo that you normally would wear to church on a Wednesday night. So in the other nights, you can wear your team colors. So, but dress like you would on a Wednesday night to church or on a camp evening service. If you've been to a camp, you'll know what that's like. So that's kind of, if you could do that, and that'll still give it a sense of relaxation, but also give it a sense of whoever the preacher is, some seriousness for the Word of God too. What we're going to do at the beginning is only in 15, 20 minutes, and then the preacher will be on. Our goal is to have him on no later than 20 after. So it's going to be fast-paced. We're going to move, and I trust you'll enjoy that time. In your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 22, and again, I mentioned it's repeated in Psalm 18. There's, of course, the debate if David wrote this right after some of his early victories, maybe right after his first confrontation with Saul. That's very possible. Some believe that he wrote this later in life when he was looking back over the whole of his kingdom and the whole of his work and giving God praise and glory. And Pastor Blake had no clue when he picked out the songs what I was preaching, and Pastor Brent, the scripture that he read tonight, but right in line with what I'll be preaching tonight from the Word of God. It's on the area of trust. And if ever we need to be challenged in the area of trust, not just because of what we're going through in our nation, just because of what we're going through with COVID, but trust is something that we have to give to God every day. God expects us. We go back to the verse, my life is not my own, for I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in my body, my spirit, which are God's. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are not your own. You are God's. I am not, you are not your own. So therefore, it ought not to be a difficult thing to trust God, but it does. It starts with trusting people. Why don't we trust other people? Well, many times we don't trust other people because we don't trust ourselves. We know our sin nature, don't we? Pastor Brent was very clear on our sin nature this morning. And we struggle with trusting ourselves. So therefore, if I don't trust myself, I find everybody else suspect also, and we do. Some of you can remember in America where you could leave your house for a day or two and never lock the door. How many remember ever doing that? A lot of people remember doing that. Why don't we do that anymore? Because we don't what? We don't trust. We don't trust. It's more than just taking care of our belongings, which is wise to lock your door. But there was a time in our nation where we trusted. And now we don't always do that like we ought. I ran across an article this last week that encouraged me and challenged me. And it's on the line of trust. And it's on the line of how can I trust, or how can we trust God, and it's titled, Why We Fail to Trust, and the author talks about how he got to this point. I just want to read through, because I think it'll be help to you tonight as we get into this in 2 Samuel and in Psalm 18. Why we fail to trust God. Number one is fear. Is it any wonder in God's word that we hear repeatedly, do not fear? In fact, if we go through the Christmas story, remember the angels appearing, and to those that the angels of the Lord spoke to, one of the main themes or the main phrases, fear not. Why? Because fear is natural. So trust, the angel saying, trust me, because what I'm about to bring to you is good tidings of great joy. Trust me. So fear. We worry that things will fall apart. If I'm not in control or if I'm not holding them together, things in my life will fall apart. We worry not only that things will fall apart and relationships will fall apart, but we worry that we will fall apart. That we'll get frustrated with life and frustrated with ourselves, and we won't be able to go on. Some, it's their family origin. Maybe things when they're a child or growing up, things weren't right in their home or out of control in the home. And they seemed helpless, and so now that they're adults or parents, they want to control things instead of giving it to God. Past betrayals, loss of faith and trust in people, being told you can't or being told or being lied about or misunderstood, and that brings about, now I don't want to confide in anybody. I don't want to really love others. I really don't want to put myself out there, so to speak. And so when it comes to God, we have to understand that God is far different than trusting in other people. We're talking tonight, we'll look at a holy, righteous God. And what sets that apart is God's holiness and God's righteousness in the fact that he is God. And then a distorted image of God. Some use God, we would say, almost like a voodoo doll or almost like a Santa Claus asking for things, getting things from him and trying to manipulate. God cannot be manipulated. And I'm so thankful that he can't be manipulated. A lack of stillness and silence before him. And this one I thought was huge because we are such busy people. Even in ministry, we get busy and we fail to trust God because we do not stop. David says in Psalms, be still and what? Know that I am God. The solace of that. A lack of stillness in my soul. A lack of stillness in my soul because I'm afraid. A lack of stillness in my soul because I'm frustrated. A lack of stillness in my soul because we have things speaking to us in our ears and we're not sure what is factual and true. Then there's perfectionism. Everything's got to be just right in my home. Everything's got to be just right in my life. Everything's got to just line up right, or I'm uneasy, or I'm not confident. That's where we put our trust in God. By the way, Satan is the author of confusion. God is the author of order. And God will bring order to our life as he describes and as he asks for it. Maybe it's a limited view of letting go of control and trusting Jesus is the core of the Christian life. Every day, every hour, every moment. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Christian, do you remember when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? We would say it this way. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That same trust for salvation is the exact same trust in which we can live our Christian lives today. That has not changed. And so we trust him. We give him our all. We give him our life. We depend upon him. And then there's denial. There's coming a day when our life's going to be over. We will let go of everything. Our health will be done. Our relationships will be done. Our status, our possessions. And we struggle with the area of vulnerability when it comes to trust. We are vulnerable people. Pastor Brent mentioned tonight to Pastor Blake, hey, we make mistakes. We're all vulnerable. We are not perfect people. And so what do? We trust in the Lord with all our heart. We don't lean, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We don't lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, what do? We acknowledge him. And what does he promise to do? He promised to direct our path. And so that's our challenge tonight. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 22. David and you don't have to turn here, but David, two specific areas I want us to look at tonight. I'm going to read real quick from Psalm 20. Then I'm going to read from Psalm 115 before we get to our text. We will get there. But David mentions this twice in two different ways. Let me read from Psalm 20, verse 7. You don't need to turn there. Some of you know these verses. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. David talks about putting your trust in objects, putting your trust in things that give you strength, putting your trust in chariots. In this case, talking about those that would battle him. Woe to them, Isaiah 31:1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. But I will have mercy, Hosea 1:7, I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. What is he saying? Our strength is not in the power of the things in our hands. It is in the source of our ultimate strength, and that is God. And that's where our strength lies, and that's why we can trust. He says, we don't trust in horses and in chariots. Did Egypt chasing Israel, the Egyptians chasing Israel out of Egypt toward the promised land, did they have all the horses and chariots they could want? Yes, but what happened? They were consumed, weren't they? As God parted the sea for Israel to go through on, you can have all the horses and all the chariots and all the spears and all the shields. But what happened? They all collapsed on Egypt, on the Egyptians, didn't they? Why? Because their faith and their trust was in their things and their horses and their chariots and not in God. And Israel's trust was in God. And so tonight, what is your trust in? What are you trusting in? There are people whose lives are discouraged, frustrated, and it's because of objects and things that aren't lining up in their life correctly, and there's a fear, and there's a lack of trust in God because the things they put in trust in are failing them. And then he mentions in Psalm 115, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Some of you know this reference. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have what? Mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. Two things he mentioned. Putting your faith and your trust and your strength in inanimate objects will get you absolutely nowhere, and putting them in false idols and false gods. And you would say, well, Pastor Dan, we don't have false idols and false gods. Our idols are those things that keep us from serving a righteous and a holy God. Our nation is consumed with idols. And there are some believers that claim Jesus Christ, that their faith and trust, they say it's not an idol, but we put our strength in so many things that consume us, consume our time, and take us away from an almighty God. And so David tells us we can't trust in inanimate objects, and we can't trust in our own areas of worship. Our worship is where we spend our time. That is what we worship. Our world worships athletics. It really does. Now, there's nothing wrong with athletics, and we love them. But the point is, everything has to have its place and be in its right place, and not cannot get beyond that. Whether it's athletics, whether it's a livelihood, whether it's entertainment of a sort that where your time and energy goes. And so God asks us, and we're going to see David is going to clarify different areas in which how he sees his God of trust. So as David in Psalm 22. The gist of it we're going to look at tonight, much of it is even prophetic, and we're not even get to that part of it tonight. Let's read 2 Samuel chapter 22, finally, and then let's read verses, if you will, 1 through 3, and then we'll skip down to the end of the chapter, because there are some words that David attributes to God that I want us to look at tonight. And if you're reading in Psalm 18, you're more than welcome to stay there. And David spake unto the Lord the word of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. And if you would look down to verse 29, for thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, by my God have I leaped over a wall. Verse 31, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? And then verse 33, God is my strength and my power, and he maketh my way perfect. We're going to take those words tonight, and we're going to look at each and every one of those. And if we don't get through, we'll end and save it for another time. But I want to challenge us with those words that David saw, that David looked at, and that David challenged himself with. Before I do, biblical trust, what is the word trust? It means to flee for protection or to confide in. There's a song that says, I run to Christ, and we sing that often. That is the picture. When it comes to trust, we run to the one that we can trust, and that is God. To salvation, we run to the one that we can trust, and that is Jesus Christ. We trust in Christ for our salvation. Some people struggle with their walk with God because, yes, they trust him for salvation, but you can trust him for every day of your life. That's why some people trust or struggle with, am I truly born again? Did I say the right thing? Did I do the right thing? Did I repent enough? The bottom line is, did you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And if you trust Christ for your salvation, you can trust Christ to live your life. And so we'll look at words that David uses tonight. So David's going to answer some questions. So he's going to flee for protection. It means to confide in, to have hope in, to make refuge. Trust also in the Old Testament can mean to be confident in or to be sure, and all those things to hope in, all those things can come to play as we go through this tonight. So David answers these questions, what or who can I trust, and why can I trust? In a podcast this week, missionary Stephanie Wesco, I don't know if you had an opportunity to listen to it, but most of you know the story. Missionary Ben Sinclair was here last year. He was the driver in the vehicle with Stephanie and her husband Charles and 11-year-old son Charles. And of course, you know the story where Charles' life was taken. He was shot, and she goes through the story, talks about even before even heading to the mission field and how God brought them together, talked about their 8 children. And in that, she's talking about trust. And here's a lady who lost her husband. Her husband was taken into eternity. And she talked about her trust in God. And as we've discussed this in our home, there's the human play of this. Could we do the same? Would we be able to trust God in this situation? And we say that we would. Here's what she said. She stated that we can have a peace in the midst of conflicts. And I got to thinking, how can a woman, how can this missionary lady serving the Lord, living God's will out in Cameroon with her husband Charles, her 8 children, how can she say all this when their life was drastically changed? And they had just arrived a few days earlier in Cameroon, and they're in this vehicle that Ben Sinclair was driving. How can she claim peace in the midst of conflict? Then she said, God is trustworthy. She answered that question, how do I know God is trustworthy? Here's what she said. It is a surrender, and that faith is a choice, not a feeling. I'll guarantee you, she doesn't feel. There's days she doesn't feel like getting up. She's struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder. There's days she struggles. You know what she longs for? If she could long for her husband back, she would. But can I tell you what she longs for? She longs to go back to Cameroon. She wants her little hut, her little house back. It's amazing. Why? Because she trusts God. And the whole interview is nothing but scripture and trust in God. She understands the concept of Psalm 91:2. I will say of the Lord, he is my strength and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Psalm 91:4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Psalm 91:11, For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Because he hath set, here's the key, how can we trust God? Because he has set his love upon me. God loves you. Aren't you, do you get tired of that? By the way, if you want to be renewed in your walk with God, in your relationship with God and salvation, look up the words in God's Word. Do a word study and look up all the words on love. If you wonder if God truly loves you enough to save you, look up the words on love. And I'll guarantee you, God will encourage you. And that we can trust him just because he loves us with a perfect and everlasting love. And then it says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Not only did she understand Psalm 91, but she has a huge understanding of the verse that we already mentioned. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You and I, we are not our own. We are bought with that precious blood of Jesus Christ. So if somebody is going to buy me and purchase me with their blood, they're going to die on the cross for me. Don't you think that is the person I can trust more than anybody else? The answer would be yes. I can put my full weight and measure of trust on him. And this is something David realized. It is something tonight that we must realize, that trusting God, he reveals himself to us in different forms, and David sees it this way. First of all, let's look at verse number 2 of 2 Samuel 22. We're going to go through, there's about 14 words that David describes his God and that he can have his trust in his God. And we're going to go through these rapidly, but each one of these makes us look a little bit different at our trust in God. Verse 2, the Lord Jehovah, he is the self-existent one. And then in verse 3, he says, the God of my rock, that's Elohim, that's the supreme God. So David's dealing, he's going to mention God, Jehovah God, the self-existent one. Then he's going to mention the supreme God, Elohim, and it's God. And what does he say in verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 2? And said, the Lord, that's Jehovah God, is my rock. So the first one we look at tonight, that he is our rock. He is our rock. By trusting God, I can trust in the foundation of my protection. The foundational thought of trust is God's strength, God's love, and the fact that it is God, the self-existent one himself. The word rock means lofty or craggy, a fortress. We're going to see fortress come up a few times here. A rock, a stone, a strong hold. It's our foundation. And our foundation of trust is God himself. It's who we put our trust in. Remember David says, I don't put it in immaterial objects. I don't put it in horses. I don't put it in the best of what I have when it comes to defense. We don't put it in idols. We trust God. 2 Samuel 22, 47. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Psalm 62, 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Why is he my foundation? Because with him I cannot be moved. A sure foundation. Of course, the New Testament talks about the church and the foundation and how it is built. It is a strength. You have a home. The foundation is key to anything. Our nation, a lot of times we talk about bridges and buildings, talk about infrastructure. Well, why is that so important? It talks about the basis. It's the foundation. It is the rock. So first of all, David said, he is my rock. And then let's read on. Not only is he my rock, but then he says, in him will I trust. He is my fortress. That means a net. That means to fasten. It's a castle. It's defense. Again, a stronghold. A snare, a strong place. I trust in the extent of my salvation. I trust in the extent of my protection. It's the length and breadth. In fact, Romans 8:39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May be able to, Ephesians 3, 17 and 18, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded, there's the basis in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. I trust in the extent of my protection, not only my basis, but now it extends. It's far-reaching. God's love for us and God's care for us and God's protection for us cannot be reeled in. It is everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, the Bible says. So he is my fortress. Let's read on. Not only is he my fortress, he is my deliverer. That means my escape to carry away. I trust in the promise of deliverance of my protection. I trust in the promise of the deliverance. See, when you and I get saved, we get saved understanding the promise that comes with that. The promise of salvation, the promise of everlasting life, the promise of protection, the promise of following after God and trusting in him every day of my life. Interesting that word deliverer means to slip out or to escape. It means to calve. It has to do with a cow giving birth. When the calf is born, its dependence is changed. There's an independence gained, but a new dependence begins. And when you and I get saved, there's a new dependence. Our old man, old things are passed away, right? Behold, all things are become new. There's now a dependence on God for our life. It's the new birth, we could say it that way. And that is our salvation. Genesis 45:7 are the words of Joseph. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. Remember when Joseph, if it was not for Joseph, Israel would not be a nation. And what did Joseph say? This was for your deliverance. It was for your new birth. It was the nation continuing on. Luke 4:18. This is in Jesus' words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So he is our deliverer. Let's move on. Not only is our deliverer, he delivered us out of the hands of the enemy and out of the hands of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. And now he says, look at verse 3, the God of my rock. And there's Elohim, the supreme, exceeding mighty God. He is the God of my rock. And there that word, the word that's powerful here is the word boulder. Again, a cliff or a sharp crag, if you will, a boulder, a refuge. And here's how we say it tonight. I trust in the size, or I trust in the enormity of my protection. We sing with the kids, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Have you lost the understanding of the awe and the awesomeness and the largeness of God? The power of God, the enormity of our protection? Your insurance policy isn't this enormous. Whether you're in the good hands, or whether your flow's got you, it doesn't matter, right? Nothing, no protection. Nothing is as big as God. You could have the largest person that you can think of protect you, but can't touch the enormity of God. This speaks to God's strategy of protection, the supreme protection of our mighty God. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there is pleasure forevermore. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. His love for us is enormous. His protection for us is enormous. You cannot reel God's holiness in. You cannot reel his righteousness in. Any of his attributes, they cannot be measured. They are immeasurable. What is David's point? God cannot be defeated. And the only way God is going to guide me through life is that I put my trust in Him. I put my faith in Him. But when I do it upon myself, when I try to accomplish it my own way, and David was a failing person, and we know that, just like we are. We put our trust in ourselves. That is when it doesn't matter how enormous our God is. If we are not trusting in that, then we are going to fail in our walk with Him. His enormity doesn't change. His power doesn't change. It's our trust in it that changes. So, the God of my rock. Then he says, He is my shelter. He is my shelter. He is my shield, a shield. And this gets into another word that we found out later, and that is the word buckler. And so we're going to go and share what that means. But He is our shield. I trust in the shield. And if I could say this in the right way, because as we go through this definition, I think it'll make sense, or the interference of our protection. We are not talking about human interference. We are not talking, we're trying to manipulate situations. Humanly, we do that a lot. We try to clear. We've talked a lot about a helicopter parenting or bulldozer parenting, where the parent wants everything made easy for their children. God isn't bulldozing anything, or God isn't helicoptering, but He, in this sense, runs interference. In other words, He is willing to run ahead of us and to guide us and to block us or block evil the best that He can. So here's what a shield means. It means a buckler. We'll talk about a buckler in a minute. I found this interesting. In the definition, it's the scaly hide of the crocodile. Now, I'm not big into the old crocodile hunting shows and those guys that wrestle those things down in the swamps and the bayous and things like that. But crocodile, for the most part, is not very vulnerable. They will tell you where they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable at any soft spot. Well, they don't have a lot of soft spots, do they? They do in their eyes. If they're going to stab them, where do they go? They're not going to go on top of them and start stabbing them. Because why? It's scaly. It is hard. It is their protection. It is their shield. Where will they go? They'll go in under the legs, won't they? They'll go into the meat where it's fatty. That's where they're going to go. That's where they're going to attack. They're not going to attack them where they are least vulnerable. Satan is not going to attack us where we are least vulnerable in the shield and the protection of God. He's going to attack us when what? Where we are vulnerable. He's going to attack us in our mind. He's going to attack us in our senses, our eye gate, our ear gate. He's going to attack us where we are most vulnerable. So He is our shield. He is our defense. And then it uses the word buckler. Verse 31 says, He's a buckler to all them that trust in Him. We think of the word, and most of us have in our mind a shield, and there's a picture of what a buckler was. It was a small shield. Many of you have an idea of a big shield, a door-size-like shield. That is a shield. And then there in this case, it's a buckler. It would be defense that they would put. This is kind of about the size of a hubcap, it looks like. And it would go on your arm, and they could use it. But not only could they use it for defense, but they also use it for offense. It was light enough, they could use it as an offensive weapon also. And it was small. It was a shield of sorts. It was a buckler. The reason it was used, and the reason that I want to bring this out, it shows shows maneuverability, and it shows mobility. We have a God that will do whatever it takes to protect us. Our resource, we already mentioned, our resource is unending. I trust in the shield or the interference of my protection. That shield cannot be penetrated. No one can interfere with God's divine will for your life and for my life. What's it do? God protects our vitals. What's the shield do? It protects the vitals. God has an agility and ability to block Satan, the fiery darts of the wicked. Satan does what? He walks around seeking whom he may what? Devour. And so Satan cannot penetrate. So we must use, as it says in Ephesians 6:16, the shield of faith above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let's read on. What else is he? Of course, he's our rock, he's our fortress, he's our shield. And then it says, he is the horn of my salvation. The word horn simply means cornet, or it means we would picture an elephant's tusk. That's what horn simply means. But why is it used here? Why is it used as a word? David says, the horn of my salvation. Because the horn was always a picture of power and might and dominance. Some try to figure out why David would say this exactly. Some said that they would simply use a horn of an animal in some cases to fight with. Maybe a ram's horn, they would use that to fight with. The warriors sometimes would adorn their helmets with horn-like ornaments representing their victories, representing their power. Some say it goes back to the altar that had the horns on the four sides of the altar. But it always shows, it is always a show of power and might and dominance. So David says, God, you are the horn of my salvation. You are my dominance. I trust in the mighty power or in the dominance of my protection. We would look back in history and we would say, hey, that certain sports team, they have a legacy. Can their legacy ever be broken? Why? It was built on dominance. Maybe they won so many Super Bowls or so many championships. They were dominant or always in the playoff. They were dominant. They would beat their opponents year after year. God is beyond that. All power. He is a show of power and a show of strength. His dominion, his power, his protection for you and I. And then, let's read on. Not only is he the horn of our salvation, he is our high tower. He is our salvation itself. So not only is he the horn, but he is actually the salvation. It means liberality or deliverance. I trust in the act of deliverance of my protection. Even if it's salvation, the deliverance from sin, the deliverance, the protection that he gives me every day. It's escape from our enemy. It is a place of safety. It's a place of growth. It's a place of prosperity. And not prosperity as David talked about earlier, not trusting in immaterial objects, but the prosperity that he gains through his walk and his relationship with Jesus Christ. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. I trust in the act or the deliverance of my protection. He delivers us. No matter what situation we're in, no matter what tribulation we're facing, no matter what physical ailment, no matter what frustration, no matter what disappointment. See, we all face disappointments, and sometimes we disappoint ourselves. And then he says, he is our high tower. That is a cliff, the lofty crag, again, our refuge, our defense, our high tower, similar to the definition of rock. But in this, I can trust in the height or the obscurity of my protection. And here the thought is the inaccessibility of our enemy. The inaccessibility. If you've ever had the opportunity of a dog chasing you when you're on your bicycle as a child, you pedal really fast, don't you? And you hope that your speed of your bike and your legs is going to make that dog inaccessible to you. There are certain animals that say, hey, I'll just climb up a tree. You don't want that to a bear because they're going to come right up behind you. Why? Because they're accessible. And the thing with our God, he knows where Satan attacks us. And he knows where he can take us, so we are inaccessible to that. So he is our high tower. And then we see he is our refuge. He is our refuge. That simply means he is our retreat, our place of fleeing, our way to escape, our place to flight, our place of refuge. And this is one of the greatest places that David takes us to. A place of quiet, a place of solace. I trust in the solace of my protection. I can run to him. Psalm 18:29, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall, fleeing from evil and fleeing to Christ. Who do we run to? We can run to Christ. Or are we frustrated sometimes? Is the problem insurmountable, seemingly? But you know what? We can run to Jesus Christ. Psalm 25, verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art my God, or thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 27, 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. He is our refuge. He is our place of solace. Moms know this and understand this. There's an owie or a boo-boo. And what does that child want to do? Maybe the child's sick. Climb up in mommy's lap. Let mommy put a cold cloth on the head and rub the head and just cuddle. Why is that? It's a place of solace. It's a place of comfort. And that's where we can go. David says, God is a God of refuge. He is my place of solace. Then we see he is our Savior. It means to be open, to be wide. He accepts all. I'm so glad that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so glad. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever. I'm so glad he is our salvation. I trust in the freedom of my protection. Not only the cost of it is free, it didn't cost me anything, it cost Christ his life, dying on the cross. Not only that part of freedom, but I am free to come to Christ. I have the opportunity to come to him. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? It shall make you free. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. For when ye were the servant of sin, ye were free from righteousness. We just got a couple more. Let's finish up. Thou savest me. Next, thou savest me from violence. That is the wrong. That is the unjust. I trust in the righteousness or the pureness of my protection. Oh, we live in a world where injustice. We try to be fair, look at fair and equality in things. Somebody gets preferential treatment, but I don't get preferential treatment. God is righteous and God is pure. God's protection is motivated 100% by his holiness. The words of the Lord are pure words. They're silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. See, I can run to God because he is pure and righteous. And I know there is no... When I go to God, I know that he is not picking, if you will, and choosing if I have enough for him or if I'm offering him enough. God's opportunity for all of us to run to him is just the same as another person. Thou savest me from violence. And then down at verse number 29, he says this, for thou art my lamp, O Lord. Pastor Brent mentioned this morning. Thou art my lamp. He is our light. He is our candle. I trust in the illumination or the guidance of my potential or my protection. Let me help you with this. It doesn't mean that God is going to give us 100% perfect understanding of every area in our life that he guides us through or leads us through. It's easy for people to say, well, I want to know what God's plan is. We don't always know God's plan. But what we do know is we can trust him in his plan. And we can trust in him. For thou wilt light my candle, my Lord, my God will enlighten my darkness. He does more than pull us out of trouble. He does more than put us into light. He guides us through the darkness and he guides us. He puts our feet on that we've mentioned, the rock. And then we see in verse 33, if you look down there, for who is God, save the Lord? Who is a rock, save our God? That is a fortified place. We put here, I trust in the force or the fortification of my protection. Every one of these has to do with God's power, God's ability beyond my inability or beyond my ability, whatever it is, whatever ability I have and whatever ability you have, it does not match the ability and the power and the strength of God. He is our force. I will go, it says in Psalm 71:16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And then lastly, it says, he maketh my way perfect. That means entire or complete. He fulfills. I trust in the completeness of my protection. There is nothing left. After David goes through, and the reason I want to go through all of these, I don't want to leave any out, because all of these wrapped together shows the power and the strength, the everlasting might of our holy God. And listen, whatever you're going through, whatever you're frustrated with, understand you and I, we can trust God. And it's not that God is unavailable. And it's not that God does not have the power, because he does. It's because we many times lack the faith. We lack the approaching of that. And it's one thing tonight to recognize all these things as David did, but it's another thing to call upon them. It's another thing to act upon them. And I believe as I read through this, and as you read through this, David got a glimpse of the mighty power and strength of his God. David saw where he could not measure up. He saw his failures. He saw his incapabilities, but he saw that his God was more than capable. And so whether it's a missionary's wife whose husband was taken from her, whether it's a man who sits in our auditorium tonight dealing with cancer, whether it's a person recently going through a trial or a difficulty, losing a position, losing a job, having your job furloughed, whatever it is, I'm here to tell you tonight, based upon the truth of the scripture, that we have a God we can trust in. We don't have to trust in horses and chariots, and I know not literal horses and chariots is David's point. We don't look to anything else. We look to no other being. We look to no other thing to satisfy us. Our satisfaction is through Jesus Christ. And that's what we can trust in. We don't know tomorrow. I don't know the rest of the day. But I know this. I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who I can trust in. Can I trust you? Can you trust me? Not always. But we have a God we can trust. And so tonight, put your full weight, put your trust in him. Whether it's rock, whether it's a fortress, whether it's a high tower, whether it's a buckler, whether it's a shield, whether it's a rock, it doesn't matter. What is it tonight that God is challenging you? God, let me just leave this to you. Let me just cast all my care upon you. You know why? Because the promise is he cares. I cast my care on him because what? He cares for us. So I challenge you tonight, just trust God. Easy? No, because why? We're human. And we like power and we like control. And we like knowing tomorrow. We like knowing how it's going to get done. We like knowing how the bills are going to be paid. There are people in this room, you know God's full protection and guidance in your life because you trust him. And we've watched it in many of our church family, how God, you are a blessing, and you're a challenge to us in a good way. You are a trophy of God's grace. And so may we all continue to put our faith and our trust in God. Let's pray tonight.